Wow, that was wonderful. And I'm going to allow them to gather themselves and then to come out here, and I'll have the leader to introduce them to you. But we're so proud of what they do. They've been in our service before. We're glad that they were able to come back again today. Come on up here. If I could have the handheld mic, we'll have some introductions here. And this is Brittany. And Brittany, introduce your group for us.
Sure. So this is our first year coming back after a little while. And with us, we have Trevor, Daniel, Laura, Jordan, and Maria. Thank you for having us.
Our first lesson for the day is turn on the microphone. And our scripture lesson comes from the 9th chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 20. I'll read from the NIV today about Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he didn't eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul, and he said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God.
Easter brings new life, and there are many signs of new life. One of the signs of new life that Easter brings is new eyes to see, and that's what happened to Paul. On his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, he was struck by a light so bright that it blinded him. Sometimes the truth is like that. It blinds us. We lose our sight. And there on that road, Saul was struck down on the ground. And having lost his sight, then he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do thou persecute me?" And it was the risen Christ. And the voice also told him that he was to go into Damascus one would come to lay hands on him and pray for him that he might receive his sight. And so Saul, helped along by those who were with him at the time, went into Damascus, and a man named Ananias came. A very, very brave man, because he knew who Saul was. But Saul also had received new life, and he had new eyes to see. And do you know what he called Saul? When he went to lay hands on Saul and to pray for him, he called him Brother Saul. And after laying hands upon Saul, Brother Saul, and praying for him, the scales fell and Paul received his sight, new eyes to see. And what did Saul see? And by the way, his name is changed later to Paul. So I'm going to call him Paul now, because Paul is the one with the new eyes. What did he see? He saw Jesus in a different way. He saw that all the promises of God that he had studied in the law and in the prophets, he saw that all the promises of God that he had believed in, all the promises of God are fulfilled in this one, in Jesus, who is the crucified and risen Messiah, the risen Lord. He had new eyes to see Jesus as the risen Lord. He also began to see himself differently. And these two things are deeply connected, seeing Christ clearly and seeing ourselves clearly. And in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 4 through 8, you can read about this, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. Paul says something like this when he receives new eyes to see himself. He says, "You know, everything that I used to regard about myself as being really, really important, all my accomplishments, all my status, all the things that I really used to count as being something, I now count as nothing compared to who he is and the identity that he has given me." And Paul goes on to say, "I only want to know one thing, Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection." And so Paul began to see himself differently. He had no more confidence in the flesh. He had nothing to boast about there. And he let all of that old identity go, and he took up the new identity, as indeed we should. The third thing that he saw differently was other people. And I really like this one. This is from 2 Corinthians verses 15 through 16. I'm going to paraphrase it. I really like the way the Message translation reads it. It goes something like this. "From now on, we don't evaluate a person by what they look like, the outside. Because we did that one time when we looked at Jesus, and we were wrong. From now on, we look at what's on the inside of a person. We see people differently now. And we know this, that if anyone is in Christ, behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. And there is a new creation." Paul began to see Christ with new eyes, to see himself with new eyes, to see other people with new eyes. And then get this. He was able to see with new eyes what God was doing in the world and how God wanted to use him. Paul had no idea that he would be commissioned as the apostle to the Gentiles. He, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew. Yet, we know what he did through the story of Acts. He preached to the Gentiles. And he began to see that God was doing a new thing. God was bringing together different groups of people and forming them together into one new creation, one new family, one body of Christ. And so in Galatians, we have the scripture that in Christ, there is therefore now no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female, for we are all one in Christ. And then you read the rest of the story of Paul, and you can see what God did through him because he had these new eyes to see. What could God do through us if we had new eyes to see? You know, we may not have a Damascus Road experience, and that is okay because we come to Christ in many different ways. But one thing is for sure, is that Christ can open our eyes. He can give us new eyes to see. And that's what we're praying during this season of Eastertide, that we may receive that sign of new life, new eyes to see. And I've thought about how is it that my eyes have been opened at times. And it's simply been through God's Word. As I have come to God's Word and opened myself up to receive and listen to God's Word and read God's Word, I've come to find out that God is at work in me and at work in all of us through His Word to transform us more and more into persons with new eyes. I'm going to call Polly up at this time because she just recently had something to occur in her life to give her new eyes.
Can the Word of God change your life? Yes. But what if listening to the Word of God, could it transform your life? And my answer is yes. For I found an app that you can listen to the Word of God. It's called YouVersion. And what I've realized about myself is I love reading the Word of God, but I'm a listener. William says I listen to his sermons too close because I quiz him later on when we get home. Or I say, my pastor said. So what I found out was that this app really speaks to me. I want you to listen to this gentleman.
So that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem.
So what I started doing is listening to the Word of God. It's transformed my life, especially this book of the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles. Because what I found out is when I started listening to Acts, it's a fast-paced story about how God and Jesus' life, how he transformed the lives of the disciples and the apostles. I told William, what it's given me and what I see in them is boldness to really be a disciple of Christ. And they were fearless. They didn't care who was coming after him. They were going to preach Jesus even if they got arrested. And they were told not to do it. They still went out and preached it. So how has that changed my heart? It's given me boldness after I listened to this book. I've listened to it about 4 times. I'm a slow learner, I guess. The first time I listened to it, you all know I do art. I drew this flower. In the past, prior to this, every petal on my flower had the same design over and over. When I started listening to Acts, if you want to come up and look at this flower, every petal is different. It has different doodles in it. That's what I think being bold means. That God's Word, this Word, whether you listen to it or read it, can change you from the inside out and give you new eyes to see. Because what I believe is he meets you wherever you're at. The first time I listened to Acts, I drew this picture. The second time I listened to Acts, I was at a different place in my life. And what it made me realize is that I perhaps needed to step out a little bit more in faith. When someone said, hey, can you pray for me? What did I usually say? Yeah, I'll pray for you. And I'd walk away. Now what I do, I don't care where I am. I say, could I pray for you now? And I hold their hands. William says I do drive-by evangelism. I've been known to, at Caribou Coffee, stick my hand out and pray with somebody in the drive-through window. But do you see how listening to Acts and really having God's word come into my heart and my life has made me bolder? I can't say that I'm out on the street corners talking with everybody, but wherever I am and I listen to the word or I read the word, it started to transform my life and give me new eyes. And as William said, recently when I listened to Acts, I'm in a different place in my life, and it's changed my heart to see people different and see people in their need and see them as that they are children of the living God. And as he said, not to judge them, but to say, I wonder what they're going through because I'm going through something. And do they see Christ in me to love them, to meet them where they're at? So I would encourage you, if you don't have YOU version, some of the different translations, if you're a listener like me, have really changed my life. It took me about a year and a half to, because people say, you're a pastor's wife, have you read the whole Bible? My answer is, I've listened to the whole Bible. I've read it too. But it took me about a year and a half to get through the Old and the New Testaments. And it's still working on my heart. And if William's preaching on something, I go and listen to it and let it soak into me. So it's given me new eyes. I hope you will take the time to let God's word give you new eyes, to see him high and lifted up and to be bold. And I think the disciples are fearless. That fear can fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our heart when we're filled with God's word. So I challenge you to let the word of God have new eyes for you.
So here's what I'd like for all of you to do, and myself as well. Find some time to go through the book of Acts. You may not be able to read the whole thing in one setting, but I'd like for you to read all of Acts. You can listen to it, which is a great idea, as Polly shared, but I want to invite you to listen to this word or read this word and see what happens. Because what happened in our household was Polly began to listen to Acts, and I saw her want to do some of the things that the apostles did. She became bolder in her loving witness to others. And then I remember one time when she said, do you know what the apostles are able to do? Why don't you do those things? And then I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I need to have my eyes open and receive new eyes. In 1620, John Robinson, the pastor to the Pilgrims, was on the dock getting ready to give a blessing to the Pilgrims on the Mayflower to go to America. And they were going there largely because of their faith, to be able to live out their faith. And John Robinson said these words, I believe that God has ever yet more light and truth to shine out of his holy word. Listen to the word of God. I think that God indeed has more light and more truth to shine forth from his holy word. So during this Eastertide season, let us listen and let us read to the book of Acts and have and allow God to give us new eyes. Our invitation for prayer is just simply this. There may be areas in your life where you need new life. We'll be glad to pray with you about that. Perhaps you want to dedicate yourself to the Lord today. Renew your faith. We're able to do that with you as well. Perhaps you have a special request on behalf of someone else. We'll be glad to pray with you about that. But let us stand.